Edelman is a grown man. Julian Edelman is one of the best receivers in the league.
Okay, but we wouldn't have had a receiver draft, we wouldn't have been in the top five.
And I'm going to say this, you can run with it, they can say what they want, but it's like reverse racism. I'm not lying. This is real talk. Julian Edelman, just because he's a Caucasian receiver, they don't give him the credit that he deserves.
Colin, do you believe Big Ben is serious about retiring?
Yes, I think he's considering it. Will he execute it? I don't think he will, but I think it's a not-so-subtle shot and sign to management.
Welcome, Tribe members. Thank you for joining the Tribe today. On the council, we have Eric.
What up, podcast people?
A.K.A. Two Plates. and we also got Ricardo in here.
Hey, what's up?
We just want to say thank you guys for listening. Thank you for leaving us your comments, your feedback, you know, everything. We appreciate the vibes. And we just want to remind you, this is unscripted. We just came up with the topics 5 minutes ago.
And you know this.
I ain't even lying. We just came up with the topics 5 minutes ago.
We freeball it.
Yeah, we do it all the time, guys. You know, we just freeball it. And we want your reactions and everything. And we want you to come up on here, you know. Go ahead and check out the fan cast, okay? It's by the Podomatic episodes. There's fan cast. We got who's up there? Luciano. Yeah. He's a fan, and we got him on a couple minutes on there as an episode. And we also got
Carlos.
I'm sorry. We appreciate y'all. And just check out those fan casts, okay? You know, check out our episodes, but also check out the fan cast. We're also gonna have some more fan casts in there, and give us your response to it. Do you think they should be actually part of the episode podcast, or you like it on the regular own episode? You know, the 10-minute little episode that they have. You know, give us some feedback. You know, negative comments, whatever, is all appreciated. Nothing but love. All right, gentlemen, how are we all doing today?
Doing good, man. Doing real good.
I probably asked that already. But anyways, we got the, let's see, let's start with the NFL. We had some games, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's start with the AFC matchup. We got the Pittsburgh Steelers who faced the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Rich, what was your reaction to that game?
I felt like the Steelers didn't come ready to play. Well, after the first quarter, Le'Veon Bell got hurt, and then he tried to go in the second one, but you can tell that he wasn't good to go. So once they lost him, he was the big key to the offense, and the game changed. The game plan changed after he left.
Go ahead, Two Plates.
Man, Pittsburgh, man, they defense just didn't show up, man. You know what I'm saying? And, man, the New England offense, they balling right now. Yeah. Tom Brady, he hot, still hot. Chris Hogan handled his business. You know, they didn't get much from the running game, but their defense played well, and Tom Brady in that offense.
Yeah, Chris Hogan had like 180 and two touchdowns.
And, you know, I don't know where he came from, but, man, he had a real good game, though, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, my first reaction was snooze fest. It was boring. Snooze fest.
Why?
And right away, you know what I thought about?
What's that?
What I told you before. They didn't deserve to be there.
Who, Pittsburgh?
Exactly. They didn't deserve to be there. There was the wrong team to be there. And I still stand that Kansas City should have been there. But, like I say, I don't know what it is, because it's also for the NFC matchup. The Green Bay Packers shouldn't have been there. They didn't deserve to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them. This is me, my opinion. You can nod your head, whatever. But
you entitled to your opinion.
My opinion is, it's those refs. This is what happens when you don't hire them full time, and have teachers come and do this part time or whatever, professors whatever do this part time, and you don't want to pay these guys. This is what happens. They fuck up shit. I'm sorry, it's the truth. With that messed up calls against Kansas City, and then Kansas City lost, you could say, well, they could have best that tied it. Well, they were on a roll, man. They were getting, on there. So Kansas City would have definitely gave them a better matchup.
I doubt
okay?
it.
Okay? I'm telling you.
I disagree,
they would have gave them a better matchup. How can you say that? You really think Kansas City would let New England scoring them like they did? Like Pittsburgh did?
KC defense is better than Pittsburgh's defense, but KC has no offense.
They would have
the quarterback.
That defense
they still would have lost 30 something.
Defense would have caused some offense for them. You're telling me that Kansas City can score more than 15 points on New England Patriots?
I doubt it. Unless their defense helped them out.
That's what I'm saying. They would.
I have absolutely no confidence in Alex Smith.
I can understand that.
He's not a terrible quarterback. He's not elite by no means. He's maybe a little bit better than average, but no. Nah.
So by seeing Ben Roethlisberger at this playoff game, you're saying he was elite at that game?
This game particular? No. But is he an elite quarterback? Yes, he is.
Is he?
Yes, he is.
You don't think he's down the downside?
He's not as good, of course, as he used to be, but he's still a very, very, I'm going to say an elite quarterback.
Well, you know what? I knew the game was over after the first quarter. Now, they say about Le'Veon Bell, he hurt his hamstring, whatever.
His groin, yeah.
I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to stick it up for Jay Cutler. Lord knows I'm not sticking up for Jay Cutler. But they made him saying that, you know, oh, he was out there riding a bike. Well, I saw Le'Veon Bell walking up and down that sideline. Now, you might say, well, it's different injury. Okay, fine, I believe you. But he was walking up and down that sideline.
Yeah.
And standing there. It's not like he was sitting down, agony or pain.
So are you saying he was faking?
I'm not saying. People were giving Jay Cutler, shit because he was on a bike or trying to say, oh, he's not in that pain if he's riding a bike or he's standing up. You know what I'm saying? He had no freaking...
But I mean, it's different for running backs because you need that burst. You need that, you know what I'm saying, to push off and run. With a quarterback, you just dropping back and throwing the ball.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You're running back, you running that ball, and you know what I'm saying, if you got a problem with your groin, that's going to affect your game, which it did.
So
and we all know Le'Veon is a beast, man. If he could have got back in that game, he would have.
Yeah.
Okay. My reaction out of that game was basically a snooze fest. I'm sorry. It was.
Oh, yeah. It was boring. I'm not saying it was a good game.
It was boring as shit.
I don't think KC or anybody else would have kept up with New England.
Now, did you see the double teaming on Antonio Brown out of the game? Because I did. I saw two corner and a safety on him at the same time.
And my thing is, because you know with Belichick, that's what they do. He gonna take away the team's number one threat. Mm-hmm. Which on Pittsburgh, I mean, no offense to Le'Veon, but let's be honest, it's Antonio Brown.
Right.
I'd rather, you know what I'm saying, you got to pick your poison. I'd rather, you know, take Antonio Brown away and make Le'Veon and the rest of that team beat you.
So let me ask you this. So what you're saying is Mike Tomlin got out-coached.
Absolutely.
Mike Tomlin got out-coached.
Yeah, he did. Okay. But then again, he went up against Bill Belichick, who I don't like, but is a hell of a coach. I'm going to give him credit for that.
Because everybody gets out-coached by Bill Belichick. I mean, be for real. I'm not being sarcastic. I'm being for real.
A very vast majority, yes. A very high percentage.
And I agree really with you about Mike Tomlin being out-coached because I ain't seen no blitzes coming at Brady. You know what I'm saying? I ain't see dudes go flying in there, even if they got to leave their man open. He was standing in the pocket for a long time. They weren't getting at him.
Yeah, you can tell the difference between the Steelers and the Texans whenever the Texans got after him.
Exactly,
he got flustered.
Yeah.
And his whole game, like his game was off in the first two quarters, but with the Steelers, I mean, they could barely, there wasn't even some plays where they didn't touch him at all. He just had great protection, and he had Hogan wide open because Hogan and Edelman, they're just out there just running around trying to get open. I mean, if they're out there that long enough, they're going to get the ball.
So we're still on the Steelers, and we said it was a boring game. Do you agree with us it was kind of boring?
Yeah, that game was boring, but I don't think the Falcons one was.
Okay, well, we'll get into that in just a minute. But we're talking about the AFC. So I guess what else corresponds with this is Pittsburgh news, and that's the Antonio Brown situation. Mm-hmm. You know, there's reports he didn't talk to the media after the game, and you know he just kept silent or whatever. But yet he was all when he was winning, like everybody else, every other athlete, they go right to the media, whatever. Now, is there some blame for Antonio Brown, whether it's that game or the events leading up to the game? What I'm saying is the events is like, the Facebook Live streaming thing that he did with Coach Tomlin. Was that a distraction? Was that motivation for New England? What is your thoughts, Rich? What is your thoughts to the whole Antonio, the whole big Antonio Brown situation?
I thought it was a distraction, but I also don't think, like Eric said in the, before, that New England needed motivation to beat the Steelers. They're going to come out and play like that either way. So yeah. I didn't think. I mean, it was wrong of him to, you know, record that video and put it up on Facebook, but I don't think it was that big of a distraction for the team.
Two plates.
It was a small, you know, distraction, and you know, gave New England a little added motivation.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm gonna be a motivation.
Nah, but you know, real talk. Fact of the matter is, you know, Pittsburgh was outmanned in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you know, the shit with Antonio Brown was a bit of a distraction, but I really don't think it would have made a difference in this game, because like I told you guys, last week, you know, I mean, New England, they just playing, you know,
lights out.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. And whether it was Pittsburgh or KC or whoever, like I told y'all, I just could not see nobody beat New England in New England, especially in the playoffs.
Yeah. Is it more impressive that they're doing it without Gronk?
Yeah, that's real impressive. I mean, but other guys are stepping up, though. You're talking about Martellus Bennett. You're talking about Chris Hogan. You know, Edelman is doing a little something here and there. You know what I'm saying? They got a little bit from the running game. But, you know, yeah, but, you know, just Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and, you know, when they together and they just turn it up a notch in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, two quick reactions I want from you guys. First one is, since we're talking about Pittsburgh and New England, one is Pittsburgh story about Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, yeah.
The situation.
Two days ago, it was released that their quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, was actually considering retirement during the offseason. He's got to, you know, take into consideration his family, his health, just where he is right now. Like physically, if he thinks he can go one more season or if he's going to call it quits. So, I mean, that's kind of like an extra blow for the Steelers. You get knocked out from the playoffs against New England, and then like a couple days later, your quarterback says he's thinking about retirement. It's kind of like, where do you go from there? Like, I mean, who do they have as their backup? That Jones guy?
Yeah, Landry Jones.
You kind of don't know where to go.
You know, my quick reaction to that, my rapid reaction to that is, you know, it's just talk after a game lost to a playoff game. You know, you're going to talk stuff like that. But I just don't see it. He's going to sit back and see, man, I got these weapons. I got Antonio Brown. I got Le'Veon Bell. You know.
You got Bryant coming back next year.
Next year.
He was trying to get back to the playoff game. But
so he's just, you know what, when he sits down and actually focuses on everything, he's going to be like, nah, I ain't going to retire.
Yeah, he'd be a four.
I don't see him retiring.
Oh, no, he's not going nowhere.
I know his time, it's like everybody else, by the time, it is going to be up. But now, I don't think so. I think it's just the loss is over him right now. And, you know, but when he actually takes a step back and realizes that he's not going to retire.
Yeah, fact of the matter is he's still playing at a very high level.
Yeah.
And like you say, you got them weapons, and you got, like I say, that the receiver, Bryant, who was suspended the whole this past season. He's coming back next year. I mean, my thing is that defense. They need to, you know, they need pass rushers. They need somebody. They need a guy on that defensive line that's going to come in and, you know, really be able to put pressure on the quarterback, because right now they really didn't have that. You can't rely on blitzing all the time to put pressure on a quarterback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to get home with your front four. And for whatever reason, with the guys they got, they just not good enough.
Yeah.
So basically for free agency and offseason and for the draft, they need to concentrate on the defense. The offense is there.
Yeah.
Everything they got on offense, they're good.
Yeah.
They need to build on that defense if they want to contend with a Bill Belichick of the world.
Yeah.
Brings me next to the New England Patriots. Rapid reaction is, you were telling me earlier today, Rich, about Deion Sanders made a comment about Julian Edelman.
Oh yeah, that was. I mean, when I first heard it, I kind of couldn't believe that he was saying this on TV, and even the people that were around him were kind of shocked that he said this. But not mainly because of the racism part, because what he said was that the way people treat Julian Edelman and how they don't give him his props for, you know, how good of a wide receiver he is basically reverse racism. That if he was black, and he was doing like what he did this year, which he got barely over 1,000 yards. He would be considered with Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham and all them. But I mean, that's what he said. He said that it was like reverse racism. But while he was saying that, I mean, LT was right next to him. LaDainian Tomlinson was right next to him. He kind of got a look like what? I mean, Edelman did good this season. He got barely over 1,000 yards. But the past two seasons, he didn't even break 1,000. So I don't know how he's even comparing them to these top wide receivers, whether black or white or whatever. Like Dave, you were saying about Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, Jordy Nelson we consider him an elite receiver. Yeah. He's white. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand where he's coming from.
Wes Welker, whenever he was with the
Patriots.
I wouldn't say Wes was elite.
We didn't consider him elite. We just said he was that dude that goes quick and short.
Real good slot receiver.
Exactly.
That's what they are.
That's exactly what I was trying to say, yeah. So, you know, I don't think there's no reverse racism. We're just like, you know, I don't know. It's just, to me, it was just, I guess he's a good route runner.
Yeah.
And that's what Tom Brady is. He's a precise route passer. So I guess he just fits the system. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know, you got like Julio Jones and stuff. I'm not saying that they don't run their routes. They just make plays. Mm-hmm. You don't see that from Julian Edelman. You know what I'm saying? Jordy Nelson, he makes plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the difference, okay? He just runs his routes, and the ball is there because Tom Brady is a route passer.
And mm-hmm. fact of the matter is, you know, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, Antonio Brown, these guys are number one receivers.
Yeah.
I don't look at Julian Edelman and say, oh, yeah, he's a true number one receiver for the New England Patriots. I mean, he's a good receiver. Is he elite? Not even
but
close.
But he's not a playmaker.
He's a playmaker.
A playmaker.
He makes plays.
He's catching these crazy catches or you know, jumping up top to get these. He's open or he's there at the precise time where the pass is being thrown. It's not like he's making these crazy plays. He's just running his routes, and Brady knows he's going to be there.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
I mean, he makes plays. He's just not on some other guy's level. Mm-hmm. Not even close.
Right. So I just say it's just part of the system. All right, guys, we spent enough on the AFC. Let's go and dip into this NFC. We had the Atlanta Falcons and the Green Bay Packers, and I'm going to say exactly the same thing I said the last game that we just talked about in the AFC. Snooze fest. But there was a little bit more excitement for me because I saw Aaron Rodgers, the great, mighty Aaron Rodgers, get his ass handed.
But didn't you pick Green Bay in that game?
Yeah, I did that on purpose.
Yeah.
You a jinx, man. That's what it is, man.
Did it on purpose.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I mean, I want to say, like I said, the last one, the refs. It was the wrong team that made it. The refs botched all those calls, so Dallas didn't make it. Dallas would have been a hell of a better matchup than Green Bay would have.
It would have been a better matchup, but I still think Atlanta would have won.
I'm not saying they would have won or lost, whatever, but I'm damn sure it wouldn't have been a damn snooze fest.
Yeah,
it was the wrong teams that made it. I'm sorry, it was. It was the wrong teams that made it, and this is why the NFL's ratings are dipping this year because of the refs making these shitty calls. And it's like, why even watch this? Because it's the wrong teams that are winning. The games are not even halfway interesting anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was supposed to be the NFC Championship and AFC Championship, and it looked like it was preseason. I mean, honestly, these games sucked.
I thought the Patriots Steeler game sucked, but this Falcon game, you can't say it wasn't fun to watch. Just Julio Jones emerging and just taking out, like just doing what he does.
I'm saying that was interesting, but the actual game competitiveness sucked.
And I'm surprised too, because Green Bay, they've been balling. You know what I'm saying? The past, 7-8 weeks?
Yeah.
For them to come out in that first half and score 0 points, man, come on. That just can't happen. But my thing is, like I said on the last podcast, I mean, with Atlanta, you do got to pick your poison, though.
I know.
And I said, you know what I'm saying? You either got to focus on Julio Jones or that two-headed monster in Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman.
Yeah.
My thing is, I say take Julio out. You know, I mean, he's the number one, you know, on that offense. You know, focus on Julio. Double team Julio and rely on your front seven to stop Coleman and Freeman.
Yeah. Did you see they were like doing man on man with Julio that game?
Exactly.
Yeah, even yeah. Julio said he's like, if they're gonna, he's like, I noticed that they started focusing their attention to Sanu, so and they kept on just manning me up with just one guy, and he's like, I even told the coaches, you know, I'm gonna be open. They only have, you know, this one guy on me. They're not doubling me. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened.
I agree with y'all, but y'all missing the other picture, the other side of the picture.
What?
Aaron Rodgers was getting rocked. They were getting at Aaron Rodgers. They were getting some good hits on this
game.
That defense played pretty good.
Yeah, they did play pretty well.
You know what I'm saying? They were blitzing. They were coming at him. They weren't even blitzing sometimes. Yeah. And those four, you know, the four up front were getting at him.
He got hit hard a couple of times.
Couple times, yes.
But I think it was like a safety. The same exact safety twice just came and rocked him, but... And he was getting hit.
But this is the great Aaron Rodgers. I mean, we put this motherfucker on the highest of the pedestal.
Do you want us to bash him now or what?
No, I'm just saying. So this loss is on him, right?
Nah, that loss is on the whole
How
team.
How can you
that,
say that this loss is on
Did
him?
Did you not see all those drops?
Wait a second, time out. When his receivers catches those miracle plays and catches the ball, we give him so much props. He's the best. Oh my God, he's the baddest man in the world. Get the fuck out of here. But when they drop those passes.
That's not, how's that on him though?
But how's it on him that he's so great that they caught the passes? This is what I don't get.
No, my thing
I
is, how is
get
it?
This.
So you saying it's 100, it's 100% his fault that they lost this game?
I'm not saying it's his fault, but it should be some blame on him.
Oh yeah, he definitely takes, you know
it
what I'm saying?
It should be more than 50%.
Yeah,
of the
blame. He definitely takes a lot of the blame, but I mean, it's still all, when at the end of the day.
But nobody's saying.
It's a team effort.
Rodgers.
It's a team game.
Nobody's saying that. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, he should. But nobody's coming out and saying it. But when he's doing good, everybody's all on the top of the world. Listen, you win and you lose as a team. And they always say the quarterback, you know, accepts it. And being winners or losers, and he needs to accept he was a loser. He was the blame. Not saying totally full of the blame, but I'm just saying, without his receivers catching those balls, you know, he looked – mediocre.
I don't think, like he said, over 50%. I don't think 50% of the blame goes on Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers' job is to get the ball to the receiver. If the receiver drops it, that's on him. Yes, they caught it in the game that we were talking about with Dallas. They were catching the balls, but he was putting it right on the money. In this game, he was putting it right on the money, and they were just dropping the balls. He can't. He doesn't deserve more than 50% of the blame.
I mean,
that's
no,
just me.
No, that defense deserves a whole lot of that blame. They couldn't even come close to stopping Atlanta.
They've been playing like that the whole year, though.
No, they ain't been great, but they ain't been that bad neither. I mean, Atlanta was moving that ball up and down the field at will.
But that's anybody. That's anybody Atlanta's been doing that to, though.
But you still, as a defense, this is the playoffs. You got to step up and get a stop every now and then.
You're coming into the game against Atlanta Falcons, and you're telling me you're not realizing it's just going to be a shootout.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a shootout. It's going to be a shootout, but you got to get a stop every now and then. You can't just let this team go up and down the field on you and score points on every single possession.
You know what?
You got to get a stop every now and then.
I noticed at halftime, even though announcers were like, they got to get their defense into this, they only got one stop on the possessions that Atlanta had. They only stopped them once. That's bad.
In the whole game?
No,
or
in the first half.
The first half?
The first half. That is bad. To only stop them once in two quarters, and then the rest, they just drive down the field. I mean, that is crazy. I just want to say this. Did y'all see that flop by that cornerback from Atlanta? Aaron Rodgers bumped him.
Yeah.
And he flew back like someone shot him, man. I was like, that was a LeBron star right there, but.
Yeah, but I saw Aaron Rodgers cry like a little bitch, you know, being whiny and everything.
But hey, anyway, but you know what tasted greater, you know, for the Falcons, you know how they got this win? What tastes better is my 20-piece wings that I won from Eric. Since I'm the only one that picked Atlanta. No one had faith in Atlanta, but I did.
I just thought, man, Green Bay, Lady Luck was been on their side for a while. Lady Luck been on their side for a minute. But I knew it was over. In that first quarter, when that kicker missed that easy ass field goal,
I'm like, man, that's I it. Told you about that bitch. Mason
and on the
Crosby.
Next possession, told the guy fumbled inside the 10-yard line.
Ripkowski.
Yeah, he fumbled inside the 10-yard line. I knew it was over. You can't give away points.
I was impressed with that run too. I was like, man, he's like dragging people.
Yeah,
yeah.
Good runs, then finish.
Is it time to trade Julius Peppers and
Matthews? Oh yeah, Peppers. Matthews, not yet. Matthews, not yet. Peppers, yes.
Young bulls up in there, man. You need young calves to go up against and get some pass rushing and stuff. I mean, come on, you need some. You need to rebuild that defense.
I agree with Peppers. He can, you know, let Peppers him go. But I keep Matthews for another. Really? Yeah, he got another year
he's
or two.
He got a
good year or two where he can be, you know.
Yeah, but where
are
you going
to
get young bucks like that in the draft? You expect them just to come in and show up? They need someone to teach them. That's why I think they should. I think that's why they should keep Matthews.
But you're saying they should get rid of Peppers.
Oh yeah, Peppers. He needs to go.
Yeah.
He needs to go.
All right, man. All right, that's it for the NFL, folks.
Now we got to make our picks, man. For the
Super Bowl. I'm sorry. I got highly distracted over here. But anyways, Super Bowl picks. You want to make Super Bowl picks on this episode already?
Yeah, why not?
Ricardo.
Excuse me.
Well, I'm riding with Atlanta. I've been riding with Atlanta throughout the playoffs, so that's my team.
If you got so much confidence in Atlanta, why is it when Carlos said bet double or none on that 40 you won?
Because
from You didn't go.
Jimmy Changa.
So you got so much confidence.
Hold on, let me tell you, because I know the Patriots are going to find a way to cheat and win. That's how I know.
So who's going to win? You just say the Falcons going to win.
I'm going to ride with the Falcons.
Who's
going to
win the game? We asked you, who's going to win the game?
The Falcons. But if New England wins, it's because they cheated. That's why.
Wow, you're saying they deflated the ball? They
deflated a couple of balls.
Spygate.
Spygate, they're going to do all of them.
Listen, this is my pick.
I would like to see
the Atlanta Falcons, but I'm going to go with the New England Patriots. They're going to win the Super
Bowl.
You
should pick the Patriots. So
what's your pick?
I was right.
Two plays.
My thing is, same thing. I wish Atlanta would win, but since I got money on New England, I got to ride with the Patriots.
Is that right?
Yeah, man. I'm going to go with the money yet, man. That's what it's all about.
All right, you are a gambling man.
So you're really confident in the Patriots, huh?
Oh, no, I'm not confident.
You're not confident?
I mean, it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a shootout.
So you're not half-check confident?
And hell no. it can go either way. I just think New England, I got a feeling they're going to pull it out.
This lame-ass conference championship games and the first-round divisional games that this Super Bowl makes up for those shitty-ass snooze-fest games. I really do. I hope this game is really, really good, honestly. Very competitive.
It's going to be.
Back and forth. I just hope it makes up for that shit that we just saw in a conference championship.
You know what's funny? Just real quick, before we end this, I was watching NFL Network, and they were showing, in the very beginning of the season, who they picked to win the NFC, and the Falcons were dead last.
No shit.
In the whole NFC. Think of the bad teams that are in the NFC. The whole NFC. The 49ers. That's a bad team.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams. They put the Falcons dead last. This is percentage wise. And I don't know if this was fan related. Of course they picked the top one was Green Bay and then
Carolina
was two.
I'm pretty sure they was up there.
And then Seahawks were three, but the Falcons got no respect, so that's why I'm going for them. They were the underdog since the beginning of the season, so I always go for the underdog.
That's it. On that note, next topic, next mainstream topic, we're going to dip into the NBA. Let's talk about those Cavs. You know I'm going to talk about those Cavs.
Got all the stats right there.
Let me talk about what was.
Let
me grow. Yeah. So let's go ahead and hear what LeBron has to say.
We're not better than last year from a personnel standpoint. We have a top-heavy team. Top-heavy as expletive or bleeping. We need a bleeping playmaker.
All right. So that's what LeBron had to say. Talk about he needs a fucking playmaker, and dropping the F bomb and everything else.
Yeah, what's up with that, man?
Yeah, you know what?
He's upset, man.
Yeah, he's an idol to children. Mm. You think they want to see that, man?
So go ahead. And what is your reaction to his not for him using the F bomb, but I'm just saying him saying he needs a playmaker on the team, basically ragging on his team right now.
I think he got the word wrong when he said playmaker. I think he meant like depth. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because they got playmakers. Let's be honest. They got playmakers, but they don't have, like he said, let's say Kyrie got hurt.
Uh-huh.
Who's going to come in for Kyrie? Let's say LeBron got hurt. They don't have, like, people behind them that could come in and get the job done. I think that's what he was talking about.
Okay. Well, let me just say this. If LeBron got hurt, well, of course they can't know where to back. Nobody in the world, because he's the best player in the world. Who's going to be able to back
him? I don't mean, you know, put up, do what he do, but at least hold it
okay.
At least
right.
Hold it down until he get back.
What you're saying. Right, I'm just saying.
Hold on. What you were saying, you said that he said it wrong, right? That's what you were saying?
Yeah, he didn't mean playmaker.
He also said, I'll be 33 in the winter, and I ain't got time to waste. That sounds like it's very me. Yeah. Like it's about me, and I want to win another ring, and he doesn't have time to waste. That's the way I see it.
Let me just come up and just say this before I dip into the situation, okay? Mm-hmm. I know I'm critical of LeBron James, professional-wise, as far as basketball-wise, okay? Now, I respect this man totally as far as individual-wise, character-wise. You know what I'm saying? I think he's one of the greatest role models in the world. Mm-hmm. Not just the game, but in the world.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. I mean, even though I put Michael Jordan as the GOAT, when it comes to role model, oh, man, he surpasses Michael Jordan. If I had a son or even my daughters, I even say, hey, you know, I'm glad he's such a great role model for these kids, for young adults, for even adults.
Oh, yeah, well, way better than Michael Jordan.
I mean, he's a hell of a role model and everything. So I just want to say that. It has nothing personal mm-hmm. to do with him. But the reason why I criticize this man so much is because we're saying he is the greatest NBA player. Well, with that
comes
criticism. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're trying to say he's trying to get up to the GOAT's level, well, we have to nitpick and criticize, you know? Because if you're going to that level, just in basketball-wise, professional-wise, you're going to be critiqued on everything. So let me begin. LeBron, seriously. You need a playmaker. So basically what you're trying to say is you need a park guard because that's what you've been crying for as a backup point guard. Am I right, guys?
Backup point guard. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what you're saying is your team isn't playing up to their level because they're missing, can I say it, Matthew Dellavedova? Is that what it is? Because you don't have Matthew Dellavedova? That's the difference in your team, my man? Come on now. Seriously?
He was big for him last year.
Oh, my God. Matthew Dellavedova, man.
Coming off
that bench.
We're
talking about Matthew Dellavedova.
He was pretty big coming off that bench.
Okay. How much more do you want from this Cavs organization? Now, granted, I don't like Dan Gilbert, especially with how he was talking. He was talking crazy when LeBron left,
It was bad mouth.
It was like racist shit. You know what I'm saying? Like plantation shit. You know what I'm saying? So, my thing is, I forgot what's his name, Dave Griffin or whatever, the GM. Uh-huh. He's giving you everything you ask. Signing these players to this team, mm-hmm. over-exaggerating the luxury tax and everything. And you still want more.
Nah, he didn't give him everything he wanted. He wanted D-Wade.
Bro.
That's who he wanted.
D-Wade wouldn't come, though.
Nah, D-Wade would have came if the money was right.
But I'm saying, okay, but he had put on his team to surround LeBron. Come on, you got Kevin Love. You got Kyrie Irving.
Who's the backup point guard in Cleveland?
Okay, the backup point guard
was
Mo Williams. Now
who is
it
now? That's what I'm saying.
Well, you're telling me Kyrie Irving can't be a point guard.
No, Kyrie Irving is a point guard, but I mean, you still need somebody behind Kyrie to, you know, come in and make plays whenever Kyrie need a break.
Well, that's
he's not
going to
play
LeBron.
The whole game. He's not going to play 48 minutes a game, especially not in the playoffs.
That's what you're doing with LeBron, though. Doesn't he have the ball in his hands when he's on top? When they come past half court, isn't he the one who has the ball in his hands making plays?
But let's be honest, though. This whole thing with LeBron is all about Golden State. That's who he's thinking about.
Yeah.
So he's automatically saying we don't have enough.
Whether
they play Golden State or even if they play the San Antonio Spurs.
I'm not saying he's saying that they don't have enough, but he's worried. Believe me, he's worried about Golden State.
He did say that we got to get better if we want to repeat this year, we have to get better. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm. And he know they're going to see Golden State in the finals. There's a good chance they might see Golden State in the finals.
You're
right. I said might. I mean, I'm hoping not. Team. Don't get me wrong. I hope not. But it is a chance. Or San Antonio. But, you know,
hold
it's
on.
A chance.
With we posted this, you know, the graphic of LeBron saying, you know, we need a fucking playmaker on our Facebook, which you can follow at the Tripod. And you can follow Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook through that name, at the Tripod. And we had a couple of comments from fans on the picture. And one was, let's see if I can pull this up real quick. One says, what the F you talking about? He is a playmaker. And another one said, fucking crybaby, he's supposed to be the king. So a lot of people are saying kind of like, he's supposed to be the playmaker. He's supposed to be the guy. And yet he's crying about this stuff.
You could never have too many playmakers on one team.
Yeah.
Well, if his coach, Tyronn Lue, was good enough, he would figure out the situation. He would say, you know what? All right, Kyrie and LeBron, maybe I don't have to play you together all the time. Maybe I'll switch one of you guys out because you both are playmakers. Something. Why aren't you figuring out a game plan? You know what I'm saying? But anyways, you know what? The last five teams that the Cavs lost to, I'm going to read them off. The Pelicans was the most recent. Spurs, Warriors, the Trailblazers, and the Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
What all of them have in common?
They're all NBA teams.
True. What's the other one?
I don't know. They're all the West.
They're all the West.
Yeah, they're all the West. They're all the
West. This gets me to another topic.
The West is better than the East? Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah, that's a fact.
But how long? How long? So when we crown this man the king, since, I don't know, has it been 7 years in a row he's made it to the NBA Finals?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How come we're not critiquing this man? How easy this man has it to get into the finals. He didn't have to beat these teams to get to the finals. He had such an easy streak. How come we don't talk about that? It's just me ranting, Ray, but I don't understand.
We don't talk about it. We don't talk about it for the simple fact he can't control who the other team, you know, have. I mean, you know, just other teams. He don't have no control over that.
Yeah, but
he can't control who they play or who they, you know, as in the East.
Yeah, but you can't say that about last year because the East was better than the West last year. They had one good year and then the West took over again. So the last year, whenever they won the championship, the East was actually good.
The East? So,
yeah, the East.
The East wasn't good.
Yeah, the East was better than the West.
No,
I remember it because the Rockets made it to the playoffs with a not that great of a record.
Either did the East, though.
No, the East top five had more wins than the West. Trust me, I looked it up because of the Rockets.
But I just think we give this man a pass when it comes down. He's been to 70 NBA Finals. Yeah, no shit. Look at the teams he's facing.
No, believe me, ain't nobody giving LeBron a pass. As much as people hate on LeBron, ain't nobody giving him a pass.
Well, to me, it sounds like it. But anyways, these five teams are all from the West.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And that just screams out hard this man would have had it. I guarantee you he would have made seven straight NBA Finals if he was in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
I guarantee you it.
Well, what's the record for the last 10?
Not guarantee. I would bet half my check.
Wait, what's the point of that? That's the past. So
it's
so
just me ranting and raving.
Fact of the matter is, he's in the East, not in the West. So,
But what's the Cavs record in the last 10?
The last 10 is 4-6.
All right, never mind.
What's the Houston Rockets record in the last 10?
5-5. Zoinks, zoinks. But the Rockets have a better record than the Cavs. So
okay, any more NBA news?
Hey, we got to talk about my boy, Russell Westbrook.
Oh, yeah, we got to talk about
Come
that,
on,
dude.
Man.
What happened?
How the hell did Curry get over him?
Oh, the All-Star award.
Yeah.
Man, let's be honest, man. The All-Star game is a glorified popularity contest.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, and people love that little yellow jackass in Golden State, Steph Curry. And yes. Jackass, I said it.
You calling that man a donkey?
A yellow jackass at that.
A donkey?
Uh-huh. Okay. And people be hating on Westbrook because they think he's a selfish ball hog. that dress weird, but he is. But you know,
does he dress weird?
Come on, he do dress weird. That's my boy.
No, James Harden calls that swag.
That's my boy. Hey, that's his style. That's his swag. You know, he like it. So hey, that's so be it. But on the court, he's a beast. And he's playing the best basketball this season of anybody. Let's be honest. He's, you know, how is he not starting the All-Star game?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. He should be starting. But you know what? You know, how they always had the fans voting, and it is a popularity contest. But you know, this year, it was 50% of the fan voting, and 25% media voting, and 25% of the actual players voting this year. I don't know if you guys are aware of that.
I didn't know that. That's probably why Zaza Pachulia didn't make it.
Well,
Zaza,
you know what? They said about 100 players or so, you know, they said there was over 100 players did not vote LeBron James on the All-Star game or Kevin Durant.
Oh, wow.
So they're, you know, this is their chance, and they're playing around with it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was complaining, oh, it was such a totally, you know, popular vote against the fans. Why does fans always get the vote? Well, this year they mixed it up and said 50% of the fans, 25% mm-hmm. of the media, 25% of the players. Well, when you're making a mockery of it, like Steve Kerr said,
yeah,
what's the point then? The NBA was giving you some shout-outs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, in that aspect, I mean, there was votes for Ben Simmons from the players. From the players.
Yeah.
From the players, bro. Mm-hmm. So, you're telling me these players aren't even taking this seriously?
No. No, they're not.
And even so, they blame them. Too, not just the fans, but blame them from them making a mockery of this.
Steve Curry actually said that, because I actually saw something about that where he's like, why do some of these players even get votes? Like, he was talking about Beasley from, he used to play for the Rockets and is with the Bucks, and he called out two other players that I didn't even know were even in the league anymore.
Yeah.
Two random players, and he's like, these people shouldn't even get votes. It should be, he was trying to say, like, there should be a certain amount of players in the NBA to get votes. Some of these players don't even deserve to get a vote.
Yeah, one of Zsa Pachulia getting, he won the number one among centers at one point.
That's what I'm saying.
That is outrageous, that's man. Fans. Come on, man.
That's fans right there.
I'm not just saying, it is, but it's not just fans. What I'm telling you, too, is some of these players were making a mockery of it. So, yeah. Like, those 100 and something players that didn't vote for LeBron, can we say it?
They hate
haters?
Mm-hmm.
Straight up haters?
Yeah.
But not saying Ben Simmons is a scrub.
Yeah,
he didn't even play yet.
He hasn't even stepped on the floor yet this season.
You know what I'm saying?
No,
and I know there's a whole bunch of others that they voted for.
Yeah.
That these players did. So if you're even, I know it's just 25%, but it's still a voice. If you, okay, wouldn't you like to see your peers, your colleagues in your profession love to see, hey, Eric, you know, we voted for you. All your colleagues voted for you and the top, you know, five in the West. Wouldn't you like to see that more than the fans? Even though you might have lost the actual voting, but wouldn't you like to see that? Because wouldn't that mean more to you than the actual fans? I mean, let's be serious here. Wouldn't that be more, you know, more to you than saying to you, like, wow, these guys in my own craft who understands this craft that I'm in appreciates how much and what I do to this game.
Yeah.
And the fact that you got people that didn't even vote. And I don't even like Kevin Durant, but I would have voted for him because he deserves to be there. It's all about, and these guys, I mean, Curry definitely deserves to be there. He don't deserve to be starting over Westbrook, but he definitely deserves to be there. I mean, I would have voted for him.
So
I wouldn't have voted for him to start, but I would have voted for him.
So who would be your 1-2 in the All-Star game
for
the West?
Shooting guard and point guard?
Yeah.
Westbrook and James Harden.
So Curry wouldn't have made it, right?
He would have made the team. He just wouldn't have been starting.
Yeah,
if you had to drop one player from that starting five, it would have been Curry to make room for Westbrook.
Absolutely,
Richard, yours.
Yeah, definitely.
Would it be Curry?
I'm telling you, these Warrior fans took over the voting. A lot of them voted Curry. They voted all their. Even Iguodala was up in there, the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
And Pachulia, man, Pachulia over Draymond Green. That blows my mind.
Pachulia over DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah.
You know, that is...
How?
You know, it's insane. You know?
Like, I understand fan votes matter, but God dang, man.
Some of them are just, they're just going to vote. I just can't believe that the Warriors got all five of their players.
And even some of their bench players.
And even some of their bench you know? Players. On the top 10 of the All-Star voting. It's just crazy.
They're America's team. Their version of the Dallas Cowboys.
Anyway, guys, any more topics you want to hit up on before we end this episode, my friends?
No.
Okay. Listen, everyone, we really, really seriously appreciate it, you know, listening to us. You know, thank you for being part of the tribe. We want your reactions. We want your opinions on certain things. We want you to vent, you know what I'm saying? Come on, be interactive with us. We would love to have you guys on via phone or, you know, maybe live in the studio if you want to. You know, just hit us up. We appreciate y'all. Thank you for listening. Check out those fan casts. Like I said, you know, we can put you guys on it if you guys want to be on a fan cast. We got Luciano on there, and we got Carlos on there. And I'm pretty sure we're going to have two more pretty soon on there.
Yeah, check those out. And if you like what you hear, I mean, you can be part of that too. Just
Give us some feedback even on the fan cast and say... Or even say, hey, you know, we actually prefer these guys on the actual episode, or you like that they have their own little separate episode. You know, give us some feedback. We appreciate it, you know. Yeah. Where can they find us at there, Richard?
Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, it's all at The Tripod. Just look us up there. You can message us. You can comment on our pictures. You can, if you want to interact, if you want to get on the show, like he was saying, just leave us a direct message on any of those platforms. And if you want to email us, it's thetribecast16@gmail.com. Again, that's thetribecast16@gmail.com. And you can send us, let us know if you want to come on the show or if you have any questions. And those are all of our outlets right there.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. For Rich and Mr. Two Plates himself, Eric, I'm Dave Love. Dream big, but live bigger. Peace.